Pull up a chair and join us at the table this week for another episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice, a tabletop role-playing podcast.
Welcome back to this special edition of Paper, Pencil, Dice. Last time when we left off, the group had approached Master Kevdak, the second in charge of the entire guild, the Dreadcrowns. They were in the vault deep in the underbelly of their entire underground lair in what looked like some kind of a dilapidated arcane laboratory. They went through, they found just this, all these disturbing things, like these bodies that were being, this red liquid was being suffused into them. From what they could tell, trying to change them into something. But it was overall a pretty disturbing experience. But anyway, so as they finally approached Master Kevdak, Hup threw a vial of this red liquid into Master Kevdak's face and then turned around and grabbed the box, which Master Kevdak identified as what he called the Cask of Eternal Death. Upon touching it, the arcane energy flowed into Hup and his eyes turned red. And we're going to go into that a little bit more in depth in a moment. But first, let's go ahead and introduce our players. So first of all, Tegan, would you like to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Maybe.
Okay. Is Chris there?
Yes. Had to take care of the dog. Sorry about that. park it all over the place. We're doing introductions.
All right. Let's start the episode over.
Sorry. The dog started barking. I had to go take care of him.
No, that's fine. I had called on you and but if you have to step away, like throw something in chat or something just so I know not to call on you when you're not there.
All right.
So 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to a special edition of the Paper Pencil Dice podcast. So last time our group went down into the deep underbelly underneath the Dreadcrown's lair. There was a very strange arcane laboratory. It seemed like it was much older than the rest of their lair. And the there were these bodies that had this red liquid siphoning into them. It was very disturbing to see. And they pieced together at least partially what they think it was. It might have been souls that were flowing into the bodies and slowly changing them. So they ultimately made it to the central area, found what the source was, three artifacts that were being used together. And they found also Master Kevdak, the second in command of the Dreadcrowns there, guarding them. They initiated an assault on him, and Hup went behind him, threw a vial of this red liquid in his face, but then turned around and grabbed onto what he referred to as the Cask of Eternal Death. And at that point in time, he slowly turned his head to the rest of the party and his eyes turned red. And that's where we left off last time. So we're going to get a little bit more in depth on what Hup experienced himself in a moment. But first, let's go around and do a round of introductions. So Tegan, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I am the other Chris. I am playing Tegan, the gnome sorcerer, extremely upset in this whole situation. I value life, hold it very dear, and for souls to be sucked in and put into bodies and redone and not able to go to the other side just really makes me mad. So instead of thinking about what I was doing, I just started hurling random things at random people.
Next, Jethal, do you want to go and introduce yourself?
Yeah. I am Chris as well. I am playing Jethal, the elf wizard. I was the awesome one that was the only one to hit Master Kevdak last round. So, you know, I'm just going to continue to be that awesome guy.
You know, being awesome is generally a good thing, really. So yeah. Up next, we're going to go with Aether. Go ahead and please introduce yourself.
I'm Brian. I am playing the role of Aether, a Seer Elf fighter here. I was one of those that did not hit Master Kagdak. I did try to hit him with my nice shiny falchion, but apparently whiffed. So hopefully he's not too mad about that.
I mean, generally he's probably not that mad about not being hit. So, and last we have Hup. Would you like to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. You know, that falchion wouldn't be so shiny if you'd hit people more. But
I was just looking at admiring it, and it's like, ooh, shiny.
Like, I don't want to hit anybody with it. It'll dent it. I'm Mark. I'm playing Hup Bottomsworth. I am a human rogue, and I would just like to note that I've broken my roll one streak, and I actually rolled amazingly well in that sleight of hand.
You really did. Yeah, actually, I think almost all of your rolls have been pretty good lately.
I took it without me even noticing that I took it.
Oh, there you go. All right. So, So let's go into what Hup is experiencing right now. So normally in like any normal tabletop game, this is where I would take Hup's character Mark and go away from the table and explain to him, you know, kind of what he's experiencing. But since we're on a podcast, this is just, you know, information that Hup has that I'm also sharing with the listeners. So Hup, you touch the cask of eternal death, as it has been named to you. And the moment you touch it, you immediately just feel this energy wash over you. As it does, you find yourself kind of on the plane of sort of, or like a mental plane, and you see this, individual standing across from you, sort of inside your own mind. It is an elf, or was an elf. And it's very extremely desiccated face, and it looks like it might be smiling. You're not entirely sure. And it looks at you and says, "Greetings. I am Kundal."
"Hi, I'm Hup."
"You have awoken me after nearly 200 years of imprisonment. And it is through you I shall enact my revenge. Submit to me or cease to exist."
"Jeb, I don't get a reward for freeing you? Not even like a finder's fee or something like that?"
"Your soul may continue to exist within this vessel, should you allow me to remand control from you."
"So submit to him or perish. Is that my choices?"
"That seems to be the choices he's given you."
"Can I tell him I submitted to him, but use my deception to trick him?"
So you're gonna try to pull a fast one? Sure, go ahead and give me a deception against whatever this thing is. Hey, there you go.
Natural 20. Yes.
All right, so add 10 to it, and then what's your overall roll?
35.
30. Okay, well, I was gonna say fat chance of ever deceiving him, but yeah, with a 35. It seems like he has a level of confidence that he's going to gain control, and then you don't give it to him. So, there's going to be probably a number of rounds where you still maintain some control. And so when we get back to the rest of the group, you'll have periods of time under which you're in control and periods of time of your body that he's in control, potentially, okay. based upon will saves that you are able to either make or fail.
And when he doesn't look, I'm going to giggle a little bit.
All right. That sounds like a very huff thing to do. So we will go back to the rest of the group. So at this point in time, Hup looks at the rest of the group, kind of takes a quick glance around, looks down at himself, kind of almost look like he's inspecting his own body, looks up and smiles. And he said, and the body says, "At last, freedom." And then like kind of like shakes his head a little bit. And then you're back in control for a moment there, Hup. Do you say anything?
So, yeah, I'm like, dude, did you see how well I grabbed that?
So
do I feel like I've got power to, like, so I've got parts of control. Do I feel like I've got access to things, or?
You probably do have. So the thing is there, essentially what's going on right now for you, Hup, is there are two souls occupying your body. One is your own, and the other is this being, whatever this Kundal is. And that's spelled Qhun'Dal. In case anyone's taking notes. The soul of whatever this Kundal is also in there, and both you and he have the ability to tap into its power, as well as he has the ability to tap into your power.
Okay. Well, he comes out the better end of that.
Because I mean,
Hup Bottomsworth, he can tap thieves checks like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, man.
All right. So we are going to go back into the initiative, and Master Kevdak honestly has no idea what to think at this point, because he immediately looks over at Hup and pretty much disregards the rest of the group. And he runs over to you, and he is going to make an attack against you.
What did I do? I'm just... You know,
did the energy flow stop when he did that?
I'm sorry?
Did the energy flow stop when he did that?
The energy flow seems to still be flowing between the artifacts, but also now it's flowing between the artifacts and Hup. But yes, most of the energy flow has apparently stopped.
Okay.
Let's see here. All right, so Hup, does a 26 hit your armor class?
It does hit my armor class.
Okay, so he comes up to you and kind of gives you two quick punches to the gut. They don't actually hurt that much.
Well, I flex. I like total six-pack deflect them.
They only deal 10 damage to you.
Okay.
Your hit points, by the way, I'm not going to tell you what your hit points are right now, but that is not very much of your hit points right now.
I'll just write 600 down. How about that?
There you go.
But yeah, you take 10 damage, and also it looks like it's, he kind of, what everyone else sees is, you know, it was actually far more than two hits. It was kind of like hit, then poke, and then another poke. And like, you know, he did a number of gestures and hitting you at different pressure points is what it looks like. So after he goes, we're going to go with Tegan.
All right. How big is this room?
So the room is, so your guys are halfway between the door and Master Kevdak, and it's about 20 feet between you and Kevdak. Okay. You see Kevdak there. He is about 5 feet, or no, 10 feet away from Aether, and he's adjacent to Hup.
It's my pencil there.
And then behind you, it's another 20, so it's 20 feet between you and Kevdak, another 20 feet between you and the door.
What about behind Kevdak?
Behind Kevdak, there is all the pillars with the different things on it. And then there's another 10 feet behind there. And there's a bunch of chests that are closed at the moment against that wall.
Okay. So I'm going to throw one of my necklace of fireballs at him. I'm going to do one of the D8s.
Okay. The 8D6 ones?
The 8D6.
Okay.
8D6, yeah.
All right. So are you throwing it? Who are you? So I believe it's 20-foot diameter. So what you have the option of hitting Aether, Kevdak, and Hup, or any combination of two of them?
I got three actions, right? So I can ask a question, draw, and throw?
Yes. Ask a question, like, what you mean, like, try to identify information?
Yeah, like, I want to know if that's the real Hup.
Okay. So that would be a perception to sense his motive.
Okay.
So that could be your first action.
Okay. Do that. Perception roll. Perceive 17.
17. You're pretty sure that it's partially Hup and partially not Hup. Hup's still in there, but there's something else that's in control, and as far as you can tell, that's slowly winning control from Hup right now.
All right, well, I'm going to, at that point, I'm a preserver of life, and I know he's connected, so I'm actually going to choose to throw it at Hup and Master Kevdak.
Okay.
So it's a DC 27 fireball. 27.
But you don't need to. Oh yeah, there's your attack roll. So
yeah,
what's the total damage?
26.
Okay, and you said what was the DC?
27.
27. All right. Master Kevdak gets a 20, so he takes full damage. And then Hup, you currently have a plus 19 to your reflex save.
Okay.
And you're muted right now, Hup.
Okay, plus 19.
Yep. So go ahead and roll a d20 plus 19 for your reflex save. Okay, 24. What was the DC again there, Tegan?
27.
27. Okay, so both you and Master Kevdak take the full 26 damage. So I believe that puts you at 36 damage there. 36 damage. Up. All right. Up next is...
I was hoping I have more than what I had when I started the combat.
You did. I'll send you a... well, actually, I'll just tell you. You currently have 172 hit points.
Minus the 36 or...
Minus the 36.
Okay.
All right. So who are you attacking there?
I'm attacking Kevdak.
Okay. All right.
I rolled a 25. I'm using Magic Missile.
Okay. Does Magic Missile require an attack roll? I thought it automatically hit.
Not that I'm aware.
It says in the description there, it automatically hits and deals 1d4 plus 1.
Fair enough. It just auto rolls, I guess. I don't have that set right. But anyway.
That's fine. Yeah, you deal three damage. All right. So Master Kevdak takes 3 damage.
And I think that's, I want to use that, I actually want to use that 3 times, because I can use it, it's only one action to send one missile.
Okay.
I can send it up to 3 times.
All right.
Let me
go ahead and just roll it twice more.
Yeah, I was just turning off the, so 4 damage, and another 3.
All right. Master Kevdak has been hit many times. All right. And that's all your actions?
Yeah, that's all 3 actions.
All right. Up next is Aether.
So am I adjacent to him or do I have to move to him again?
You would have to move 10 feet because he moved back to attack Hup.
Okay. All right. I will move and attack then with the Falchion again.
Okay.
So... see if I can hit him this time. And I got a... see where my attack is here. There it is. 27.
That is a successful hit.
All right. And that is a slashing attack for 5 damage.
All right. He takes the 5 damage.
And then I'm going to do a second attack against him by using Brutish Shove this time.
Okay.
And I got a 20.
Is that including the minus 5 for second attack?
No, that'd be 15 then for a second attack.
Okay. A 15 is not a hit.
All right. So that's all the actions I have available.
All right. So then after you would go Rallos, who is going to cast a spell. Go ahead and Hup, go ahead and give me a will save. You have a current bonus of 23. So just roll 1d20 plus 23.
Okay. Sorry, I've just... plus 23, you said?
Yes.
Dude, that's crazy.
All right, you got a 34. So there appears to be the current embodiment of Rallos here kind of seems like he has a sort of, he's doing a mental attack against Hup, who simply looks over at Rallos and almost seems to laugh it off.
Can I wag my finger at him?
And Rallos looks, he spends the rest of his turn, looks at the rest of the group and says, You are no match for him now. Run. And after that goes Hup.
So he told me to run?
Or did Rallos tell... Was
oh my god, I Rallos gotta run.
Rallos told
him?
Rallos told the rest of you. Everyone but Hup, essentially, is who he looked at.
Okay. We all run. We all run out of the room together.
All right. So, Hup.
So, Rallos just kind of tried to attack me, so I'm going to have to come back at him. So, he's undead, right? He's got that little gem in his head, doesn't he?
He's kind of sort of undead, yeah.
Can I make an attack I'm going to try to smack him in the head with the box to knock that gem out of his skull?
You could throw the box, but the other entity in there doesn't want you to throw the box. So
I was going to smack it and,
it has a undead disruption spell it presents to you that you can use as an option.
Oh, well, let's do that. Let's disrupt his his undeadedness.
So then this would be an attack. He has to make a will save, so... And your DC is 32, so...
32?
He rolls and gets a 18. So you successfully... So essentially what everyone sees is Hup looks over at Rallos. This takes two of your actions. Looks over at Rallos, holds out one hand, and with a quick gesture... Rallos just like the gem that's in his forehead just shatters and the body just kind of collapses into a heap. And Rallos is gone.
Wow.
So I have another action left.
You have one more action.
And
well done.
I'm gonna step towards Kevdek. He's still there, right?
Yeah, he is still there. He is, well, actually, he's right next to you already. He's next. In fact, you're actually flanking him currently with Aether.
Is he the one that imprisoned me?
He is the one. He is not the one who originally imprisoned the soul that's in you, but he is the one who essentially created the system that has been tormenting the soul. For at least 50 years.
I'm going to... I'm going to try to... I don't have to move towards him. He's right there?
Right.
So I'm going to take a... Can I draw my rapier? Is that an action?
That would be an action to draw your weapon.
So I'll draw my rapier then.
Okay, so you draw your weapon. All right, and that would be all three of your actions?
Yes.
All right, so up next goes Kevdak, who, again, is going to attempt to attack you. And he gets a 9 on his attack.
That does not hit me.
A 9, wow.
Well, he rolled a natural 1. So
oh, yeah, he did. Jeez.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
And then his other attack with a -5 is a 23, which also does not hit you. And his third attack at a -10 is a 27, which does hit you.
The 28 didn't, but the 27 does?
The 28 was with -5.
Oh,
so that's 23. Right. And then the 37 with -10.
That makes sense.
Misses. Or hits, rather. You take 14 damage, Hup.
Whew. Oh, I guess Hup.
Yeah, with
Hup's got a bunch of health, apparently.
With 172 hit points, that's nothing to him.
Eventually it will be.
I mean, 172 hit points later.
All right. Next is Tegan.
All right. We came for the Bloodstone.
And it's right there.
It's right there. Hopefully it's weakened. So I'm going to use one action to grab the stone and another action to run.
Okay. So first of all, you are 30 feet away from the stone.
30 feet?
Because it's 20 feet from you to Kevdak and another 10 feet from Kevdak to the stone.
Crud.
So 30 feet from the stone. What's your movement speed?
It's only 25.
So you could take two actions, get to the stone, and take a third action and grab the stone. And since you're taking two actions to move, I'll let you do a running jump so you can get high enough to get it.
I could put like Thanks. One. I could put like one knee down.
It's just up on the table, then,
jump
right?
On it then.
Oh, yeah, Hup will give you a boost up.
All right, let's do this running lunge thing. Yeah.
All right, so you run up there. You don't have to make any rolls. You just run up and grab it. So you are, and you were. Your assessment was exactly correct. It is weakened, so you were able to remove it entirely. And so you have an option. So you can grab one, two, or all three of the actually, you cannot grab all three of the artifacts because the third one is in the possession of Hup. So you can grab the stone and the sword, or just the stone?
Oh, I'm taking both. There's no question about that.
All right.
Oh, wait, what was the name of the sword?
The sword.
What's the name of it?
The sword is the sword?
Yeah, it's the sword. No, it's the Scimitar of Thirsting Sands.
That's right. Thirsting.
Yeah, that sounds fine. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that nothing bad could ever happen with that. All right. So you are in possession of the Scorpion Bloodstone and the Scimitar of Thirsting Sands.
Sweet.
Am I kosher with that?
I don't know. Are you?
Are you trying to ascertain whether or not you are?
Yes.
So the Scimitar, you're probably not okay with the Scimitar because the Scimitar was one of the items that was originally used to destroy you in the first place.
Oh.
And the Scorpion Bloodstone is simply an item of immense arcane power.
Okay.
That essentially allows transfer of energy, essentially, is what it does.
Okay.
So, Tegan is now in possession of both of the items.
Cool.
So I guess, Hup, the answer for you, what does Kundal think of that? One, he doesn't like that someone else is in possession of it. Two, he never wants to touch that sword again, however.
Okay.
So he doesn't want to have the sword, but he doesn't want anyone else to have it either.
Right. Like a 3-year-old.
Right.
I don't want it, but I don't want anyone else to have it either.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So you're a 3-year old. There, we'll go with that. All right.
I'm still Hop.
up next is Jethal.
Sure am. I'm running out of spell slots to use. Oh, good thing I have some scrolls. I'm going to. Oh man. Problem is, I want to try and help him get out of there.
Help who get out of where?
Help Tegan get. So Tegan has the stuff, but he isn't out of that room yet, right?
No, he's like right in the middle of the room with all the pillars.
Yeah. And that's about 30 feet away from me?
Correct.
And the bloodstone is roughly how much does it, is it a bulk one or lower?
It would be a bulk L.
Bulk L, okay.
So it's really no way. And the scimitar is probably like a bulk one.
Okay. I want to basically yell at Tegan to hold the stone out so I can get it from him, so I can grab it. And then I cast Mage Hand.
Tegan, are you going to release the stone?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So how many actions is Mage Hand?
Mage Hand is 2 actions.
Okay.
To cast, and then let's see here. I moves it. Yeah, so I can move it slowly up to 20 feet, basically.
So it's part of the spell, or you can move it after you cast the spell?
So you create a single magical hand, either invisible or ghost-like, that grasps the target object and moves it slowly up to 20 feet.
Okay. Okay, so it's 20 feet closer to you.
Yes. So it's not quite to me, but it is closer.
It's 10 feet away from me now.
Yeah. I will move up 10 feet and grab it.
Okay. So you now have the stone, Tegan has the scimitar, and Hup has the cask. All right. And that is all 3 of your actions?
Yep.
All right, Aether.
Let me see here. So I'm assuming we need all 3 artifacts then. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Rollos wanted the chest, the box. Yeah. So we don't really need the box. We have the stone. That's what we came for. And I don't know what the sword does.
Sword was apparently a way to. Well, we don't know, I guess.
Yeah, you guys have no idea what I told the Hub on that.
Right, you're right.
So I'm trying to think. As far as I'm aware, Hup is still on our side. Isn't changed. He looks weird, but I'm seeing rather crazy things here.
He attacked Rollos.
Because Rollos attacked.
Yeah.
But then you attacked him back, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Didn't I ask? So, I asked how if he was okay. I didn't tell the group what I found. Crud.
All right. I think I'm just going to take a brutish attack against brutish shove attack against this guy here and see if I hit him this time.
Kevdak?
Kevdak, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And you're adjacent to him, so you can use all 3 of your attacks on him if you'd like to.
All right. Does a 31 hit him?
It absolutely does.
All right. And that is that a critical hit?
That is not a critical hit.
Okay. Does 11 damage.
Okay.
And is, that's going to shove him 5 feet.
Okay.
And I think I would hit in a way that pushes him, between, let's see. He would have to be, let's say, away from Tegan, so that Tegan Can't get attacked by him.
So, okay. So just to give you an idea of where everyone's standing. So you're standing in front of Kevdak. Behind Kevdak is Hup. So it's you, Kevdak, Hup in a line. And then to the left of you is Tegan, who ran up and grabbed the thing. So he's kind of adjacent to all of you. So are you going to try to send Kevdak to the right?
Yeah, send him to the right. So a slashing motion that pushes him to the side.
Sounds good.
And then I'll yell out to the guys. I think it's time to go. And then I break for the door and use my movement actions to get to the door.
Two move actions, and yeah, you can make it two, and then just outside of the door.
I'll make it to the door and hold the door.
Okay. So you make it to the door and kind of turn around and brace yourself.
Yep.
All right. Up next is Hup. And before you take your action, go ahead and give me a will save. And this is Hup's will save, not your modified one.
I rolled a modified 8.
Okay, so Hup, you feel yourself starting to lose yourself to the soul inside you.
But I rolled an 8.
And you did roll an 8. That is partially why you start to feel yourself losing yourself.
I thought that was really good.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean.
Considering 6 of it is my bonus.
Yeah.
All right. So, being that the what you know as the soul inside you and the fact that it's taking over more control, what would you do, Hup?
So, I know that I have stored some spells inside of this box because it is a bonded item.
Uh-huh.
And I'm... So, is Tegan right next to me?
Tegan is diagonally next to you, yes.
So, I could reach out. What I'm going to try to do is grab, not to take it away necessarily, but to grab the bloodstone to have contact with it for the arcane energy, and then pass the energy through the stone, through the box, and then cast vampiric insanguination nation.
And insanguination?
Yep, and hit it at Master Kevdak.
So, first of all, you can.
That's what I'd you like can, to do. I don't know if I can do that.
I mean, one, you can't do that because Tegan doesn't have the stone anymore, but you still can pull that spell out of the box and cast it.
Okay, let's see what we can pull out of the box here.
Okay, so everyone sees Hup kind of reach into the box and just this essence comes out of it, and his hand sort of glows with this sort of sickly dark black energy. And he reaches up and grabs Master Kevdak's throat. And let's see, let me roll this. Yep. Master Kevdak simply just like all the, I guess, life essence that was in Master Kevdak seems to just dissipate and go in through Hup's hand into him. Hup looks slightly more menacing. Now his cheeks start to sink in, his eye sockets start to sink in, his hair turns slightly more sort of whitish. And at the same time, Kevdak just simply stands there and he slumps down for a moment. And he just seems like just his life essence was completely pulled out of him. But he doesn't fall over. He's standing there, slumped over, and eyes are closed.
That's some scary stuff.
And up next, it is Master Kevdak's turn.
Do I have actions?
That was all three of your actions, because 2 to cast the spell and 1 to pull the spell out of the box.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So after that, the rest of the Master Kevdak kind of stands back up, turns around, and has a similar red look in his eyes to what Hup did. And he looks at you and says, "Shall I bring them to you, Master?"
"Yes, I want them brought to me now."
You're Hup, not the bad guy.
No, I lost control.
He lost control for a round.
Ah.
So Master Kevdak runs at a speed of 45 feet and runs straight up to Aether and essentially stands in the way of the door, planning on blocking your exit. So he has essentially, as a monk, he went into a stance that grants him attacks of opportunity now. So if you try to move past him throughout the doors, you will provoke
attacks of opportunity. Did he move past me?
Speaking of attack. He did move past you, and you can make an attack of opportunity against him, yes.
Why, yes, I will do that indeed.
All right. This is your reaction for the turn.
Yep, that's fine. So let's see if I 19.
A 19 does not hit.
Okay. I try to attack him, but slips past me. That's annoying. Yeah,
he's pretty agile.
Yeah, he's probably got 172 hit points now.
No, he totally doesn't. He has nowhere near that many.
Okay. But he should be dead by now.
Oh, he did die, and then he came back.
Oh.
But actually, it's pretty obvious. I mean, you don't technically know that, but I mean, you kind of know that. You saw literally his entire life force draw out of him,
yeah.
And then he's now serving Hup. So, Tegan, it is your turn.
I'm going to just run as fast as I can. I'm scared out of my mind at this point.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to run right past him, double move, run, slide between the legs, whatever I got to do. I'm sure I'm going to slide between his freaking legs.
Does a 20 hit your armor class?
Yeah.
Okay. So go ahead and give me a reflex save.
Okay.
Oh, you plus 10 on that because you got a natural 20.
20, so 37.
Okay, so he hits you, but you do not fall over.
Sweet. Run, feet! I am.
And for damage, you take 8 damage.
Okay.
So he kind of like he kind of does like a trip to you, but because you're short, he kind of just hits you in the midsection instead of hit your legs. So he does not successfully trip you. Sometimes being short has its advantages.
Yes.
Launch me like a football and swing me between people's legs. It's a party.
Instead of tripping you, he just punts you, I guess. But no, so up next is Jethal.
Yeah. I want to use one of my scrolls and cast command at Master Kevdak.
Okay.
And command him to... let's see here. I think I want to have him basically, I guess, move out of the way. So I think I want to actually tell him to, like, move all the way into the room again.
Okay, so essentially move forward as in back into the middle of the room.
Yeah.
All right, so go ahead. What's the will save?
It's a 18 for a DC.
Okay, so he gets a 27.
Yep, okay. So then he doesn't care.
He you look at him like, go to the middle of the room, and he goes, you shall stay in the room.
God dang it. Okay.
How many actions was that?
That is 2. And then I would like to... Gosh.
You are currently in possession of the Bloodstone and are about 30 feet away from the door.
Yeah. I would like to move up 20 feet to him.
Towards the door?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you're 10 feet away?
Yeah.
And that is your third action, correct?
Yeah.
All right.
Crud.
All right, Aether.
Well, I think I'll try to take a Brutish shove attack again.
Okay.
First attack. Does a 24 hit him?
A 24 does not hit him.
Wow, this guy's AC is through the roof. All right. Shit, if that doesn't hit, I don't know. It's like, all right, I'm so using a BB gun versus a tank here. This is smart. trying to think here what I can do that does. I guess I'll take another brutish shove attack. And no, that's not even pointless because the minus will put me below there.
I should roll a natural.
You never know what can roll, so.
Yeah, I guess I'll just do one more attack with this and see what happens.
I mean, the third one's probably less likely.
How about a 21?
21 also does not hit.
Exactly. It's worthless doing this stuff. All right, I guess I'll glare at him.
Okay.
And try to intimidate him. So, yeah, 15. Okay. So I did nothing for my turn. You guys go.
All right. Up next is Hup. Go ahead and give me a will save, a Hup will save.
Hup will save.
Yeah. So all right. Hup seems to be back in control at this turn.
All right.
I'm going to tell everybody, run. I don't know how much longer I can hold him back.
Out of game, Hup, if you fail two more saves, you are lost entirely.
Oh, man.
Run fast. And while you're at it, just toss me the Bloodstone.
I think I'll hold on to it. Thanks.
Are you essentially using your entire turn to hold him back to not do anything?
I think this, unless I start stabbing myself, I really don't know if I can do anything else.
Can you move him out of the door?
Can you command the other dude?
I'm not in control of him. The other guy is in control of him.
Correct. Yeah, Hup is not in control of him. It's the soul inside Hup that's in control of the other guy.
There's no box of magic inside the box that you could use on him?
The only thing left in the box is the cloud kill spell.
That's... Cloud kill,
huh?
Yeah, sure. So you might want to better do some damage on this dude.
All right. So that's your turn, Hup?
I think so. I'm not sure what else I do.
So we're go around one more time here. So it is now Kevdak's turn. He is going to resume his stance and essentially transfer all of his three actions into reactions. That gives him four reactions for the next turn. And so he's just standing there ready to stop people.
Oh, come on.
And you're the only one in there, right? Because me and Aether are outside, so it's only just Thal that's in the room.
No one made it out. Aether was in the room. You're close to the exit, Tegan.
Okay.
But you made it almost to the door, and then he kicked you and stopped you.
Oh, I thought he just kicked me and hurt me. I didn't know he stopped me.
No. He stopped your forward motion.
Correct.
And I'm sorry. You're right. You were, because you did pass your save, so you got past even though you got kicked. So Tegan's out. But Jethal, Hup, and Aether are still in.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tegan.
So, do I know if poking him with the thing going to do anything back to him?
No, not the stick of social distancing?
No.
No.
the scimitar or whatever. The thirsting sand's doing.
I don't know. Do you want to try it?
Yeah, I'll try it. See what happens.
All right. So I'm just going to tell you what to roll for it because you don't know what the item is.
Okay.
So you have, let's see, your attack. So roll 1d20 plus, let's see, 2, 5, and 3 plus 1d20 plus 10.
All right. 26.
That is a hit.
Okay, and damage?
Damage would be 1d6. I'm sorry, no, 3d6. Because it is striking 2.
Okay.
Plus 2d8 plus 6. So 3d6 plus 2d8 plus 6.
So that?
Yes.
That I've got it there that I typed in.
That you typed in, but you forgot to put the slash roll in.
No. I did it on purpose.
But yes, that is.
Yes, that is correct.
24.
All right. So, yeah, you stab him and see the D8s were. Do you have any damage on you right now, Tegan?
Me? I have the 8 that he did.
Okay. So you heal 4. You heal 4 of it.
Sweet.
As when you stab him, it like energy leaves him and goes into you.
Okay. Oh, that was awesome. Aether, get over here. So attack is how many actions?
One. So you use one to get back up to him because you had ran away from him.
Okay.
So you use one to get back to him. One to stab him, and you can do another one.
Stab him one more time. That was fun. Can I just do up arrow? Will that work in D20?
Yeah, you can hit up arrow. Yeah, the... Yep.
Oh. I don't think it actually did the roll, did it?
There it is.
21.
And you get a minus 5 since it's your second attack.
Yeah.
16 is not a hit.
Okay.
All right, and that is all of your actions there.
Yep.
So up next is Jethal.
Yeah. Oh, good. This is going to be great. Shoot, I have nothing to really do anything. I think everything I do is not going to matter. I'll try and hit him with a daze.
Kevdak or Hup?
Kevdak.
Okay. What is the will save for that?
18.
Okay. You got a 29?
Yep. Okay. So he's
not really all that dazed.
Critical success. So you take no damage. Sweet. Okay. I really don't want to get decked by this guy. So I'm just gonna
stick it out
here. I'm gonna actually cast shield on myself.
Okay. And now it is Aether's turn.
All right. I think I'm just gonna try to grapple with this guy because we need to move him out of the door. So I'm going to first, as my first action, put my sword away. And then my second action, I'm going to try to grapple with him.
All right. Let me look up the rules for grapple. Is it just an athletics check?
Yes, grapple is you attempt to grab your opponent with your free hand, attempt an athletics check against their fortitude DC, and you can also grapple to keep a hold on a person. So, okay, so I rolled a 36.
That is critical success. I don't know if there is critical successes in grappling or not.
Critical success, your opponent is restrained until the end of the next turn unless you move. You move or your opponent escapes.
Okay. Then you have him held. So you like bear hug Kevdak and you are absolutely amazing at it and he can't get. So I assume you're just going to spend the rest of your term not releasing him.
Yeah, I'm going to hold. While I have him held, can I move him in any way with shove or anything?
Honestly, I don't know.
Still keep them grappled.
I don't know the rules, but I'll let you attempt an athletics check against the same DC to try to move them 5 feet.
Okay.
I mean, we'll look up the rules after this episode and try to figure out what the official rules are for that, but I'll go with that for right now.
All right. 19.
19 does not pass the DC.
So I don't move him, but I hold him. Okay.
You still hold him, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Is that your turn?
That's my turn.
All right. Hop. Need one more will save.
10.
10. Okay, well,
the party's dead.
So here's what happens. I'm just going to narrate this one really quick. Hup looks up and this energy comes out of the box into Hup, and his eyes turn from red to black, and just this black energy starts emanating out from all of them. And he first of all looks at Tegan. So he gets 3 of these this turn. This is his ultimate thing.
Behind, he's going to look through the other dude because I'm behind.
Yeah, he can see through. He can see your square at least. So go ahead and give me a fortitude save, Tegan.
11.
All right. So Tegan just like desiccates and falls over.
Okay,
but that's far.
Oh, crap. Jeez.
He next looks at Jethal.
Oh man. And you need a fortitude save?
Yes.
Yep, that's a 12.
Same thing. Jethal just shrivels up and falls over. Unconscious. And then last he looks at Aether.
24.
Okay, Aether shrivels up, but he only takes the partial effects, so essentially you are now drastically dehydrated and
incredibly thirsty.
You are very thirsty. And essentially you have a minus 2 to all your rolls until this condition goes away. And you're still standing barely.
But he's not grappling anymore?
Oh, he's still grappling. It didn't change that.
Oh.
Okay, so we're skipping Tegan, we're skipping Jethal, we're jumping straight to Aether.
All right, I'm going to try to shove this guy again, get him out of the door.
Okay, don't forget you have a minus 2 to your athletics.
Yep, and that would be 15, which I'm assuming fails.
That is a failure.
I'm going to try again.
Okay.
21.
Also a failure.
Oh, wow. And last time, I'm going to try again, which is a 9, which I'm assuming that succeeds where the rest failed.
Yeah, you were so far under the threshold that you actually went loop back around. No, it didn't succeed.
Awesome.
So the thing is you kind of just feel your body just continuously weaken.
Okay.
At this point. And then that is the... Oh, I guess Hup gets to go again. So Hup, give me a will save.
Oh, I got a 12. Look at that.
All right. And Hup is entirely lost to the entity.
Well, then. You say totally lost. It's like now...
Your soul is still in there, but you are not in control of the body anymore.
Like till I get a deal in the next round, right?
Sure. So at this point in time, both, Jethal and, Tegan don't see this. So just Aether and Hup see this, or actually Hup. Yeah. Hup still sees it. He can still see through the eyes at this point.
Horrified.
Horrified. But magic teleportation goes off not too far away. And in teleports 2 people that Aether doesn't really have a chance to see who they are before Hup uses his effect one more time. Give me another 4 to save with a minus 2. Aether.
Wow, it looks like I'm rolling good today. 26, so there'll be a 24.
Is I believe still successful. So Athir doesn't go. Athir kind of just slumps down. You're now at a -4 to all your rolls, but you're pretty much just falling down. And at this point, you're slowly losing consciousness, but you have not completely desiccated. Just before Athir loses consciousness, though, he happens to get a glimpse of who these two figures that teleported in were. He sees... Well, actually, we'll tell you who he sees next time on Paper, Pencil, Dice.
No! Oh, you can't do that.
Okay.
That's messed up.
So, So, by the way, just for our listeners out there, the reason why this was a special episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice is because we are sadly saying goodbye to our friend Mark, the player of Hup this game. He unfortunately had other obligations and just didn't have the time available. So he may still come back for special guest appearances here and there. He has done a huge amount of service, and there's no way we could have gotten this podcast off the ground without him. So from me, from hopefully our listeners, from everyone else, I really want to say thank you, Mark. You've done so much for this podcast that there's no way we could have done this without you.
Well, here.
It's been absolutely a blast.
You know, our listeners should go out to iTunes and all of their favorite podcasting platforms and make sure they like and make comments. It makes it better on the lists of podcasts.
The more comments we have, the more likes we have, the more star ratings we get, the more people find out about it through just the natural means. So yeah, the more people who can see it, the better we'll do. So yeah, anyone who can, and I'm sure this isn't the last time we're going to see Mark, but he will not be part of the regular cast going forward. But as a surprise for you, we will have a couple more people joining next time. So we'll see who they are, and we'll see what the heroes are doing, or heck, they might be just re-rolling characters next time. We'll have to find out.
Oh man. All right, then. I guess I need to start thinking of another character.
But anyway, we'll catch you guys next time on Paper, Pencil, Dice. Keep gaming, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice. Reach out to us at podcast@paperpencildice.com. In upcoming episodes, if you have any questions about the campaign, role-playing games in general, or anything for that matter, send them to us, and we may read your question on the air and answer it as a group. Join us next time to see where our heroes end up on Paper, Pencil, Dice.